Welcome back to another episode of the Biohacker Bonnie podcast, where we talk all things health, wellness, longevity, and of course, biohacking. I'm Jenny, also known as Biohacker Bonnie, and I've spent years researching, testing, and biohacking my own body and life, working alongside some of the top experts in the field. My goal is to help you cut through the noise and access only the most effective science-backed tools to feel and function your best. Today's episode is a powerful one. I'm joined by James Arthur Smith, founder of Seatopia, a regenerative seafood company delivering lab-tested, certified, clean fish directly to your door. We're diving into the truth about seafood, mercury, microplastics, omega-3s, and why the quality and sourcing of your fish can either support or sabotage your health. If you want to try Seatopia, after listening to this episode, check out the link in the show notes or head to my website under the shop tab. Use code BIOHACKERBLONDIE to save 10% off your purchase. So now let's dive in to this amazing episode with James. Hey, so welcome to another episode of the Biohacker Blondie podcast. I am really excited. This one's a little different because we are here with the founder of James Arthur Smith, and Seatopia is a sustainable seafood platform that brings amazing seafood to everyone. So this is a big topic because fish is so good for us, and there's a lot of toxicity in the ocean, and a lot of people have so many questions about, am I doing more damage eating seafood because of all the toxins in the ocean now? So you came up with a solution. And so we're going to get all into it. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast, taking the time out of your day. And if you can give a little introduction and your inspiration behind the company.
You know, I truly believe that seafood is the original super nutrient. And, you know, seafood should be the healthiest food on the planet, given our biological evolution and origins in the ocean on this blue planet. But there's a lot of issues with industrial scale practices that have polluted the ocean and bioaccumulation and all the effects of that. So to give a little bit of my backstory, I founded a CPG brand in the natural products industry co-founded a project doing like an energy bar, built that to nationwide distribution in Whole Foods. And that was cool, but I really wanted to do something directly related to the oceans. And so when that sold, I got involved in aquaculture. Not a lot of people are really passionate about aquaculture these days, but I was fortunate enough to have been introduced to aquaculture at a very young age. And the gentleman who introduced me to aquaculture when I was just volunteering at an aquarium planted the seed on the potential of aquaculture being an evolution in our relationship to the ocean and how we evolve from hunter gatherers to farming. It's truly like a mark of civilization, as Jacques Cousteau once said. The transition from hunter gatherers to farmers is what defines civilization. And to do that in the ocean, to learn to farm as opposed to just extraction, is really the way forward. The nuance, though, is everything. Back in 2020, I was working at a farm producing some of the most beautiful seafood in the world, really following my passion. What's that?
Where was this?
This was in the Sea of Cortez in Mexico. I know. The Sea of Cortez, if you're not familiar with, like La Paz, is a very magical place with turquoise water and very, very little industrial development, just clean, clean environment, swimming crystal clear water with thousands of fish and raising these animals, like literally swimming with these animals, and they're rubbing against you and just trying to produce the healthiest fish in a truly humane way. And we realized that the market actually wasn't ready for it. There are a couple of things. One, there's a lot of stigma against aquaculture. Two, the distribution channels just said, hey, what you're asking for is just out of our price range. Like, you're using practices and feeds that we're actually not interested in selling. We don't really care about microalgae or insect protein. What we care about is the country of origin and the species. And we have this commoditized system, and this is what the price is. So we pivoted from thinking that we could just sell this great product to having to sell direct to restaurants. And so for about 6 years, we started importing and distributing direct to farm to table restaurants. Restaurants that had a business model where they authentically needed to know the provenance of every ingredient. And they really appreciate what we're doing. The problem
Which restaurants were these?
In Southern California, our first restaurant was a restaurant group called the Gelina Restaurant Group. Gelina is famous for having a really amazing relationship with all their farmers, sourcing 100% of their ingredients from like farm relations and farmers markets, and having a consistent supply of sushi grade seafood where they could go and visit the farm and know it was in the feed. Was part of their business model, right? Not only did it match with their ethos and their desires, but they could actually profitably tell a story and consumers wanted it. That's super rare. It's super, super rare to find a business model that benefits from that. So we tried to do that for a number of years and found it's just such a fragmented space that most restaurants at a certain scale, the chef or the owner wasn't the one making those decisions. And it was often more like an outsourced CFO or somebody who was approving purchasing decisions or like a controller or somebody. And so it was very difficult to prioritize health and wellness or sustainability when another farm that's using commodity subsidized GMO corn and soy to raise fish much cheaper, it is, you know, 10, 20% cheaper. I got into aquaculture from sort of a place of endeavoring to build healthier relationship to the ocean. So started working at one of the most innovative aquaculture facilities in the Sea of Cortez. Through that process, was able to work with some of the most beautiful fish in the world that were being raised on innovative feeds. And we brought the product to the market and it was absolutely the best fish in the world as far as health practices in farming and nutritional content. So healthy for the planet, healthy for humans, and really enjoyable process. But the market said, hey, we don't pay that premium that it costs to produce it. We pay these sort of commodity prices. So we tried to figure out how to sell direct to restaurants, found a handful of farm-to-table restaurants that were willing to pay for better farming practices, healthier seafood, but it's highly fragmented, and did that for a couple of years until COVID. And when COVID came around and all the restaurants closed, there was this.
Were you just using one farm then? Quick pause. If you're ready to take your health to the next level and want personalized support that's tailored specifically to your body, your goals, and your lifestyle, you can book a one-on-one biohacking coaching session with me. I've spent years researching, testing, and refining the most effective tools in the health and wellness space. So whether you're dealing with low energy, poor sleep, detox issues, or just want to optimize your performance and longevity, I'll help you create a clear and science-backed plan. You'll also find exclusive discounts on my website for all the trusted biohacks and wellness tools I personally use and recommend, because I only share what actually works. Just head over to biohackerbondi.com to get started. So now let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, and one farm at the beginning and selling to a handful of farm-to-table restaurants that have very strict sort of policies on knowing where their food comes from and knowing what is being fed to those animals. It's very rare to find that, and it's not a very scalable sales channel for a farm.
I can imagine. Yeah. And just for anyone who's listening, can you just give like a quick breakdown of what Seatopia is? Because I think a lot of people just don't know. And so you created Seatopia, but a lot of people don't even know what Seatopia is.
Yeah. Well, Seatopia is a business model that is connecting consumers with lab-tested, certified clean seafood. So through this process of lab testing, we've tested lots and lots of different sources of seafood, and we invariably are finding that there are levels of mercury in a lot of fish that is not safe for pregnant women to consume, or at least not more than once a month, right? There's levels of microplastics that we shouldn't be consuming. There's significant problems in the bioaccumulation of industrial pollutants that we have created in, you know, with coal fire plant production. For example, coal effluent releases mercury in the atmosphere. It falls down into lakes and rivers and the oceans. It gets consumed by phytoplankton and zooplankton, and then you know, anchovetas, and it works its way up the food chain, biomagnifying or accumulating into the food system. And as it goes up the food system, it increases in ratio. So because mercury sits in the fat tissues, so it goes into by the time it gets into a species that you and I might be familiar with consuming, like a tuna, it's oftentimes at very like 100 times higher than it was the base trophic level. When it gets into something like a whale, like a orca or killer whale, the levels are 1,000 times higher, to the point where those animals,
they just have so much of a toxic load because they've accumulated over years and years all these toxins in the ocean. It's very sad because it's, you know, especially the plastics, and I can imagine chemicals as well, all accumulating in the fish. It's a very
fire retardant.
So it's always, I don't think people are thinking of this, but where you get your fish from, which area, which part of the ocean is so important as well. So yeah, your whole practice is also based on location.
It's so nuanced, right? Every location is different, but even within the same location, like in one region, you can have very different farming practices and very different feed. So depending on what is being fed to animals, depending on what is in the water they're swimming, the end result can be very, very different. We generally get consistent results with consistent feed inputs. And the most consistent feed inputs that we found are through farmed seafood. The challenge is, what are you feeding them? Because a industrial scale factory farm, feeding them GMO corn and soy or uncleaned fish oil is going to bioaccumulate what was in those feed sources. However, the exception is when you have clean inputs and clean water, you get clean fish. And so through our practice of testing lots of different sources, we are finding the cleanest seafood from regenerative farms using microalgae feeds and low trophic species appropriate diets like insect proteins. And the end result is seafood that is oftentimes higher in EPA and DHA, the omega-3s that make seafood healthy, and lower in mercury and microplastic. So we have, through Seatopia, a portfolio of products that has received the Seatopia standard via third-party lab testing. Nothing is in the Seatopia catalog if it has detectable levels of microplastics or more than 0.1 parts per million of mercury. And this criteria was really created through my firsthand experience of wanting to be able to feed my family. When my wife got pregnant, my wife and I spent about 10 years sailing. We lived on a sailboat, sailed all around the Pacific. We sailed from Los Angeles all the way down to Central America. I went out to the Galapagos Islands. And in this process, you know, being able to catch your own seafood is lovely. And it felt very connected to the ocean. It felt aligned in many, many ways. But when my wife got pregnant, I had this turning point where, because I know the problems of bioaccumulation and mercury and microplastics, and I didn't want to feed that to an unborn child, a fetus, because there's studies that show microplastics will go through the mother's breast milk and into the baby. We know that levels of mercury are very unhealthy, but we also know that omega-3s are one of the healthiest things you can feed a baby. So you had this challenge where, yes, it feels good, and culturally it feels aligned to be connected and catching your own fish, but knowing what's in that fish was really challenging. So at that time, there was enough literature and a handful of farms implementing these innovative feeds that had been demonstrated to have lower levels of mercury, oftentimes 100 basis points lower in mercury, to the point where I could feed my wife seafood that was sushi grade and had levels of mercury that were so low that she could eat it 3 times a day and 7 days without concerns of mercury. You can't say the same thing. And when you apply the FDA's guidelines for methylmercury exposure to a high-risk segment like a pregnant woman or a baby, tuna, for example, like a big eye tuna, you could, you know, a paperclip is like the amount that of the size of a woman should have during a month. And what you really want is, and that's only because of the mercury, but what you really want is for them to have access to the most nutrient-rich omega-3s that are bioavailable, because all the studies show that more omega-3s make children smarter and healthier and happier.
I've listened to so many podcasts and doctors, and they say there's definitely a correlation that if you don't have like high omega-3s when you test, that you will have brain shrinkage. It's very important. It's so crucial. And it's honestly like, it's so many people now have heavy metal toxicity. They don't even know. But most people that are actually testing are now dealing with heavy metal toxicity, which completely, so it's not just pregnant women. You want this for everyone, because the heavy metals in your system is so damaging to the body.
So if you are struggling to stay focused, get more done, and have steady energy all day, I might have the answer. Most supplements don't actually support long-term performance. They're packed with fillers, synthetics, and isolated ingredients that just don't work together. However, a new supplement I have been taking for months now has made all the difference, and that is Cellimentals Complete. The founder has been in the supplement industry for nearly 40 years, creating formulas designed to fuel your body with real bioactive nutrients that work synergistically for lasting impact. No shortcuts, no crashes, just true cellular support. It's packed with whole food ingredients like sea cucumber, rich in vitamins, minerals, and bioactive compounds for immune and joint support. Lingonberry and black currant provide antioxidants for brain health, while sea buckthorn offers omega fatty acids for skin, gut, and vitality. Plus, bovine heart and liver deliver B vitamins, CoQ10, and essential minerals to boost endurance and energy. Instead of just giving you a quick boost, Cellimentals helps reduce the demand on your cells so you can stay productive, feel good, and keep going without burning out. If you want to try out this amazing whole food supplement that truly gives your body the nutrients it craves, just go to cellimentals.com, that's cellimentals.com, and use my special discount code BHB for an extra 10% off so you can experience a difference in your overall health, focus, and energy. Again, that's cellimentals.com, code BHB at checkout.
And then, of course, the plastics as well. Now they're coming out with these tests. So I'm trying to avoid all plastics as well, because water bottles, plastic Tupperware, people don't realize plastics everywhere. And then we're dumping it into the ocean. It's getting into our fish. And it's like you have to treat nature as our bodies. We have to treat both, because they're both so connected, you know? And it's just really crucial. That's why I just love everything you're doing, because so many people don't eat fish now because they're worried about eating toxins.
Justifiably so, right? I mean, we hear this often, is that I went to my functional medicine doctor, got my lab test, my mercury levels were really high, and you have to stop eating seafood unless it's from Seatopia, because the only source of certified clean, you know, where you have a certificate of analysis and know what's in it. And that level of information empowers people, not just pregnant women, but anybody who's concerned about heavy metals and still wants the benefits of eating clean, healthy seafood, which are, as you indicated, just documented all across the board. We're at this interesting point where when I go and buy groceries, I have to read like a detective. I have to understand who manufactured it, where do they manufacture it, what else was manufactured in that facility, you know, if it was farmed, where was it farmed, how was it farmed, you know, and what did it eat?
Yes.
And yeah, seafood is one of the last industries that has transparency on these things, because unfortunately, a lot of wild-caught seafood comes from sources that have been exposed to these microplastics and mercury and forever chemicals because we've put it all into the ocean. It's not, I'm in Hawaii at the moment, and I have spent a lot of time in Hawaii. Like through my late teens and early 20s, I grew up out here, and I love feeling connected to this part of the Pacific. And it feels so culturally right to support my local fishermen and get a bowl of ahi poke. And you would think that we're so far out in the middle of the ocean that it's going to be safe, right? But
yeah,
data says just the opposite. There is not a part of the ocean that has not been affected by industrial pollution because all of the ocean currents are connected. So recent studies in Alaska showed that 100% of water samples tested positive for microplastics. We're not immune to this just because we're in Hawaii. So now I look at things very differently. I don't just eat tuna poke anymore. I have to get it through the lens of what are the levels of microplastics? What are the levels of mercury? And are there parasites in that? How is it handled? How is it frozen? How long has it been fresh? When we start thinking about it that way, unfortunately, it makes eating out very difficult.
I know. I rarely eat out unless I kind of feel obligated. And I try to live, but honestly, for me, it's not worth it because my health is my top priority.
Yeah.
So, and it's really interesting with the waters because I definitely thought Hawaii would be on the healthier side or Alaska. Where do you choose to farm your fish?
Water is so important, right? Water holds memory. It has so many amazing attributes. But when we're choosing to farm, the things that we're trying to avoid are industrial pollutions and effluent from like nearby agricultural farm, agricultural runoff, industrial runoff, to ensure that fish are in as clean an environment as possible. There are some things that you cannot avoid, like there is microplastics in the ocean, there is mercury in the ocean, but the nuance is what are the fish eating? And if the fish are in a extensive aquaculture environment or any sort of natural space where they're just eating what's in the environment, you have to be extra careful. Most of the farms that we're working with that are doing open ocean aquaculture are animals are not just foraging, they're being fed a controlled diet. And that is very important to distinguish because I'll give you an example of kampachi farm here on the Big Island of Hawaii. Kampachi is a native species to this region. The animals are raised in these open ocean pens, these beautiful, incredible, like imagine two pyramids stacked on top of each other. So you have like pointy on top and on bottom, and the whole structure can go completely underwater. And inside of that is an enormous volume of space, bigger than most people's homes. And you have fish swimming in this cage structure that has a ratio of 1% water and, or 99% water and 1% fish. So like you could jump in there and not see any fish until you go all the way down. They'll be way down deep. Huge space. Wow. But they're being fed this controlled diet that results in those fish being very different than the same exact species that is swimming around the outside of the pens that are native to this region. The fish that are outside are foraging for other small fish that are in the region that ate zooplankton and phytoplankton are bioaccumulated. And the levels of mercury and parasites and other things that are in the wild species are going to be 10 to 20 times higher. And in some cases with very large fish, even higher. The reason why the fish in the controlled environment don't have mercury and microplastics is because the majority of the bioaccumulation happens through the diet, not just exposure. So we lab test them both, and this is not just anecdotal. This is verified the third-party testing. You can see that the exposure in that environment is not bioaccumulating microplastic. It's the diet. And that nuance is very important and gives hope It gives hope that there is a path forward for us to develop healthy, scalable food systems in the ocean. The challenge is, how do we feed them? What do we feed them? And ensuring that it's both species appropriate for the organism, it's nutritionally rich, and we have to also figure out the affordability side, because what we're doing is not inexpensive. If you compare the net result of a Seatopia product, it's much more expensive than commodity raised seafood or most wild caught seafood. It really at this juncture is in its early stages. You know, if you go to Whole Foods, you could get seafood cheaper. But
yeah,
if you are looking for functional foods that have a certificate of analysis quantifying it, the process is just a little bit more involved. There's, you know, feeding fish microalgae that's raised in a process to produce omega-rich EPA and DHA, omega-3s, is very different than just grinding up wild-caught fish to get fish oil, right? So if you're interested to know what's in the pellet, it's oftentimes fats and proteins in different concentrations throughout the life cycle of animal. Aquaculture 1.0, when the industry first started to commercialize, they took wild bait fish and ground them up and turned them into fish meal and pressed them for fish oil, and then combined them in different ratios and fed them to salmon, for example. The nutrients in that is, depending on how it's processed, is very similar to what the wild fish would be getting. The problem is, A, you're taking wild fish to feed to farm fish. So you're not actually reducing pressure on the wild bait fish. You're actually creating a new cohort of farm fish being fed on wild fish. So it's not a scalable food system.
Yeah.
Second problem with that is whatever is in the wild fish is now in the farm fish and bioaccumulating. So any toxins that were in the fish that were ground up are now going to be in the farm fish. That's kind of aquaculture 1.0. And a lot of the studies when people point to aquaculture being unhealthy are based on those sort of practices, which are honestly mostly outdated and not replicated at most farms today. Aquaculture 2.0 was a pivot to try to develop more scalable food systems. And about, call it 20 years ago, the FAO and a handful of other organizations said, hey, how do we reduce dependency on forage fish? Because anchovetas and krill as a feedstock is not a scalable food system. So a lot of farms adopted this policy of using land-based proteins and land-based fats to feed to fish. So all of a sudden you saw farms adopting the use of canola oil, soy protein, and it would be more scalable and at least reduce pressure on wild bait fish. That was kind of the overarching idea. The problem is it really changed the nutritional quality of what they were feeding fish. So fish are not, at least
different
most fish.
Cows. This is happening with all like agriculture. This is cows too. It's just,
it's a lot of the same people too. So a lot of the large industrial scale farms are owned by the exact same private equity companies that own the largest cattle and chicken farms, right? And the business model is optimized for large scale production through this idea that there's not enough food to feed a growing global population and that more food and more calories is all we need. I think there's a bit of a misguided idea there, because really I think what we need is healthier food, more nutritious food, not just more calories, right? Because feeding GMO subsidized corn to cows causes inflammation in their gut and they're not as healthy and their microbiome's off, and then they're more susceptible to getting sick. And so they have to use antibiotics and hormones and vaccines. Guess what? The exact same thing happens in fish.
Yep.
And the same thing happens in humans. When we feed them, when we feed ourselves these seed oils, the rapeseed, the canola oil, you know, you get fatty liver and all these things. We see the exact same things in seafood. So aquaculture 3.0 is really where Seatopia's focus on today is helping consumers access seafood that has been fed a species-appropriate, nutrient-rich diet. And the specific farming practices and feeds that we're seeing in Aquaculture 3.0 are based on the principles that microalgae is the base trophic level of all life on Earth. So interestingly, most people don't realize this. Fish don't produce omega-3s. Seafood is healthy because of omega-3s, but it's not the fish that are producing the omega-3s. The fish actually can receive omega-3s through their diet.
They're
eating something that ate microalgae, and the microalgae produced the omega-3s. So vegans in the world love to say, just eat microalgae. Well, first of all, zooplankton are not are animals. They're not plants. So you have to deal with that. Secondly, I actually enjoy eating seafood, and it's my body consumes it and digests it very efficiently. And when I eat a big spoonful of microalgae, it's not as enjoyable. I've done it.
Yeah.
I actually think that it can play a very important part of a culinary application. And you know, the Aztecs and other cultures ate a lot of spirulina and things like that. What I'm most interested today, though, is feeding our fish rich sources of microalgae. Things like Schizocrichia, astaxanthin, chlorella, spirulina, feeding these into the food system so that we also get those benefits is what Aquaculture 3.0 is all about today. So when we work with farms that are optimizing their whole farming practices around producing the healthiest seafood with the most nutrient-rich, species-appropriate diet, all of a sudden we can produce true superfoods, right? This is how we were supposed to feel when we eat seafood. We're supposed to feel nourished. We're supposed to feel light, clear-headed, strong, because you know, you think about it, like I have this
protein. All there's so many benefits to fish. It's like almost on the lower calorie. Yeah, it's really a great source for getting nutrients and protein, omega-3s, all of that. But now people are scared to eat fish. It's and then that show, what was it? It was like Netflix, the Seaspiracy. So even maybe catching wild caught fish, they had like the big nets and they showed how destructive it was to our ocean as well. And that's kind of, since you're in this industry, is that all kind of what you've seen from Seaspiracy?
Yeah, Seaspiracy did a great job of highlighting a lot of the problems. There are so many problems on industrial scale farming and fishing. In industrial scale, seafood is really failing both humans and the planet. I don't disagree with that. They did a great job of telling that story. They're really good filmmakers. They also left out a big part of the picture, which is any of the solutions, right? So what Seatopia is all about today is what are the solutions that are actually here so that a pragmatic approach is we can vote for them with our fork. Right?
Yeah.
I want to be a part of the solution. I don't believe that abstinence and veganism is the solution. I believe that the handful of farms that we have direct relationships with that today are raising seafood in a truly symbiotic relation to the ocean that have the potential for truly regenerative impact and are doing it now are the solutions that we should be celebrating. So I get super nerdy about microalgae, astaxanthin, integrated multitrophic aquaculture. And the farmers that I work with that are super passionate about this as well, I think they're absolute heroes and they should be celebrated. Their story should be told, right? Like,
yeah.
Did you see the film, The Biggest Little Farm?
Yes, I love that one. Oh my gosh, it's beautiful. And it's sad to see how we're kind of destructing our environment. And that affects everyone. It affects our soil, it affects our air, and then it affects, you know, animals, and it affects our body. It's just, there's no win, you know, with any of that type of farming. And the regenerative farming is our way to health, way to happiness.
Yeah.
It's really sad. I hope there's a big change now with a lot going on. So we'll see. But, you know, our ocean is everything as well. And I just actually just moved from Los Angeles to Miami, but I was there with the fires. They're dumping all that from the fires of the Palisades is going into Malibu. And then they keep having these sewage leaks, and they keep dumping just so much sewage straight into Malibu, Laguna, just these gorgeous areas, and destroying the ocean. It's really sad. And I don't feel comfortable going in the ocean. I know people are also getting bacterial infections.
Are you ready to step up your health game? I'm excited to share an exclusive offer from Vivo Barefoot, the pioneers in barefoot footwear designed to bring you closer to nature and improve your overall well-being. Vivo Barefoot shoes are crafted to promote natural movement, enhance your posture, and strengthen your feet. Whether you're hitting the trails, the gym, or just walking around town, these shoes are the perfect companion for your biohacking journey. And the best part, as a Biohacker Blondie listener, you get an exclusive 10% off your purchase with the special discount code BHB. Just enter BHB at checkout and enjoy the benefits of barefoot living. Ready to take the next step? Head over to the link in the show notes or visit biohackerblondie.com to grab your pair of Vivo Barefoot shoes today. Your feet will thank you. I also want to share with you my favorite skincare brand, Young Goose. I recently had an amazing conversation with the founder, Emma Tay, on the podcast, and I can't stop raving about their incredible product line. Young Goose is the number one biohacking skincare brand, and for good reason. Their products are designed to work at the cellular level, providing unparalleled results. I love every product in their line, from their serums to their moisturizers. Everything is formulated with the highest quality ingredients and innovative technology. And here's something special for my listeners. Young Goose has generously provided a discount code just for you. Use the code BHB10 at checkout to get 10% off your purchase. Make sure to check the show notes or the link and the code. Treat your skin to the best biohacking skincare out there with Young Goose and experience the transformation for yourself. Are you looking for a convenient and effective way to experience the benefits of peptides without the need for injections? Look no further than Level Up Health, my go-to brand for meticulously stacked oral peptides designed for maximum benefit. Their offerings include powerful options like liver support, gut repair, and BPC-157, and they just launched their latest innovation, Neuro Regenerate, perfect for supporting brain health and cognitive function. Whether you're at home or traveling, these oral peptide stacks provide a hassle-free solution to boost your wellness journey. Ready to try them out? Head over to levelup.health.com, that is levelup.health.com, and use the code BIOHACKERBLONDIE, that is BIOHACKERBLONDI, yes, just with an I, at checkout to receive 10% discount. The details and links will also be available in the show notes. Don't miss out this opportunity to elevate your health with Level Up Health's premium peptide stacks.
And then I guess I'll ask you about this. We'll come back to fish. What a lot of people will now think of farm fish as okay, but I just want to help listeners understand, anyone who's not, you know, went down the rabbit hole of health and different kinds of fish, why they shouldn't be eating typical farm fish. Like you were saying with the feed, they're now using seed oils and other things. And from the movie too, they also, it just was awful. It's like they're using antibiotics. They're, you know, it looks like there's just bacteria everywhere. So what is the difference between like a farm fish, a typical farm fish versus Seatopia?
The reason I brought up the biggest little farm, because it tells a very clear story on the trials and tribulations and how difficult it is to do things right, and how we don't know all of the answers and we're learning as we go. It's the same thing in aquaculture. The regenerative farms that we're working with are led by real visionaries who are humbly learning from nature to be good stewards of the planet and produce healthy seafood, but there's not a clear success like pathway. They are fighting against industrial food systems that are subsidized and are it's like a David and Goliath story in many ways. So the farms that are doing it wrong and relying on antibiotics and require vaccines are doing so because the fish are probably in an unhealthy environment at a density that is unhealthy and are being fed a diet that is not giving them a robust immune system and healthy nutrient-rich diet, right? So the parallels to chicken, for example, I wouldn't say that farmed chicken is healthy. I would say that, just as I wouldn't say that farmed fish is healthy, I would say that how you farm chickens directly impacts whether or not the chicken is healthy to consume. So what are those chickens being fed? What are they not being fed? What environment are they in? How were they harvested? Was it a humane process? And was it a clean process? And how long from harvest to processing and fresh chicken versus frozen chicken, or how long did that take? When we have that understanding, we can vote for healthier chicken farms, right?
Yeah.
When we apply the same filter to seafood, I want to know not only where it was farmed and how it was farmed, I want to know what it was fed, how it was harvested, and how it was processed. When I have that information, I could start to make better decisions. So
yeah,
with fish, one of the more important questions when we're asking what was it fed is, was it fed a microalgae? Was it, like another example with beef is grass fed versus grass finished, right? Mm. Was it fed microalgae once? Or was it fed microalgae through its entire life cycle? What is the ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s in that fish?
Is there a
certificate of analysis quantifying the levels of mercury and microplastics? With Seatopia, we've used lab testing as a way to empower consumers to be able to vote with their forks for the best farms and hold farms and feed mills accountable. And we've had to remove certain farms from our portfolio. We've had them, you know, there was a farm that has some of the most innovative farming practices in deep water offshore farming site, 6 miles offshore. Amazing technology, truly like sustainable. But when they change something in their feed from using a low trophic fish meal to a high trophic fish meal, it spiked the mercury levels to the point where I no longer felt comfortable feeding it to my pregnant wife. At least that's what the data said. The data said that it went from below 0.1 parts per million to above 0.1 parts per million. And that meant that our commitment could not be met and we had to stop working with them, even though they said, hey, this is still sustainable because the high trophic feed that they started using was a byproduct, the trimming from a tuna fishery. So the local tuna fishery nearest to that farm, the tuna fishery was, you know, catching tuna through MSC certified sustainable practices. And the trim was then being, not the primary cuts, but the off cuts would then be ground up and turned into fish meal and fish oil for that farm. Mm-hmm. And their thinking was, oh, this is more circular, it's more sustainable, it's more local. Sure. But what is the health implications of that? The health implication was, instead of using a low trophic fish meal or protein, they started using a high trophic one that has higher levels of mercury, and that spiked the mercury levels. So we need to ask questions about what's in the feed, and we need to and with Seatopia, not only can you ask those questions, you can see the implication of that on the certificate of analysis.
I love how you guys are testing everything. I'm also curious, do you test your omega-3s, omega-6 ratios, and do you take omega-3 supplements?
I do not take omega-3 supplements in the traditional form. I have enough experience to know which fish have high levels of omega-3s, EPA and DHA. And there is a big difference between triglyceride form of long-chain omega-3s and ester ethyl form. So when you take fish oil in a supplement or microalgae oil or whatever, in a shelf-stable supplement, it's oftentimes in this ethyl ester form, the shelf-stable form. And your body has to then convert that into something that you're like through the liver that you're that can be absorbed. And the triglyceride form is what you get when you eat a piece of raw sushi grade seafood. And our bodies can assimilate that very efficiently. It's the most bioavailable form. When you take a supplement in the ethyl ester form, your body has to convert it. And that's why you sometimes, when you take a supplement, you sometimes feel a little burpy or your body has to convert it and it's not most efficient. The most efficient form is the triglyceride form in raw seafood. I've been thinking about Seatopia in this way. When is it more expensive on a price per pound? Yes. But I believe that if I can know how many milligrams of bioavailable triglyceride form, long chain fatty acid, DHA and EPA per, you know, milligrams per serving, then I get the most bioavailable form of my omega-3s in that supplement. I can eat 6 ounces of sushi grade sea bream from Esteros Lube Mar, knowing exactly, you know, the farm and the source and the feed and everything, that and I'm getting my omega intakes. And I do test. I have a membership to Function Health and Super Well. And both of those platforms with regular lab testing, I see my omega-3 index. I see my mercury levels. I see all these things and I can track it. And I know that I'm way above average for humans, and I'm getting exactly what I need in the most bioavailable form. And I don't have to feel gassy and whatnot. You know, like when I eat clean, raw seafood, I don't feel lethargic afterwards. I feel light. I feel like my brain synapses are working because, hey, guess what? The brain is mostly DHA. All the gray matter is DHA. You know, we get
that. So important.
You know, our bodies evolved eating seafood, right? Like if you go all back to the very first humans or even before Homo sapiens, when we came out of the trees, some of us might have gone out into the savannas and decided that we're going to hunt big buffalo and antelope, but more likely large segment of the population said, hey, let's get a source of protein that is not dangerous. Let's go and collect some shellfish. And you can see examples of this today. There's monkeys in parts of Africa that go down to the shoreline and they are opening up oysters and eating them. What are they getting? A rich source of protein and omega-3s that's low risk. You don't have to go and hunt it.
Yeah.
And the hunter-gatherer idea is it evolves here. So there's this theory, the aquatic ape theory or hypothesis, that yes, maybe some people went and hunted animals, but there was another segment that just said, hey, we're going to go and collect shellfish. And as a community led by these matriarchal tribes, we're going to the estuaries and the wetlands and the tide pools and collecting shellfish and eating fish and getting a nutrient-rich protein that happens to be super high in EPA and DHA, unlike what you get when you go and try to hunt wild animals. That unlock of omega-rich proteins is what allowed for the evolutionary development of the prefrontal cortex. And it's part of the reason why our eyeballs are pure DHA and our brain matter is DHA and the spine uses it, because it, when we have that rich source of DHA, it allows our electrical signals to move quickly. It allows our body to work efficiently. And that's, you know, it's a mark of in this evolutionary history that the Homo sapien chose this path and develop that prefrontal cortex. And still to this day, we see study after study that says when we have access to this essential fatty acid, omega-3s, we're healthier, we're smarter.
Your neurotransmitters can function. I mean, It's completely, it's so important for brain health. And I think people just don't realize what's happening on the cellular level when it comes to omega-3s. And there's also plasmalogens as well. So it's just making this all work. If you are taking this out of your diet, most people are now eating processed food, not eating whole foods, and wanting to supplement instead, which is like, you make such a great point that eating the whole food is always the best option, you know, when it's good quality, you know, good and nutritious. Since we have to wrap up, I wish we could talk forever, but which fish do you guys provide and where can everyone find you?
We're on cetopia.fish is the URL.
Okay.
And there's a handful of fish from really, really beautiful farms around the world. So there's king salmon and Atlantic salmon and sea bream and branzino. There's black tiger shrimp and white leg shrimp. There's beautiful scallops from Peru. There's a handful of products that, you know, not a huge category. We don't sell any tuna. Amazing steelhead trout from one of our farm partners in upstate New York and another steelhead trout farm in Chile, you know, using insect protein and microalgae to feed healthy, nutrient-rich animals. You know, it's the farms that we are really excited to be working with are part of the solution. You know, it's the missing chapter from that Seaspiracy film that highlights the problems and none of the solutions. Seatopia highlights the solutions. There are farms today that are part of the solution. And if these systems can be scaled, which I believe they can, we could really change our relationship to the blue planet. You know, oftentimes people refer to this planet as Earth, which is a bit of a misnomer. This is the blue planet. All life on this planet originated from the ocean. And we respect that relationship and learn to honor the evolutionary symbiotic relation between microalgae, the sun, filter feeders, and fin fish and how they work together, the relationship between the effluent of fish and the filter feeding effects of bivalves and crustaceans. We can develop truly beautiful, healthy food systems. And you mentioned something earlier about the connection between the health of the planet and health of the oceans and us. And I 100% agree with that. We are intrinsically connected, and you can't have healthy humans without healthy oceans. You can't have healthy oceans without healthy humans. We have to develop these long-term vision for how we develop healthy food systems in a respectful way with this planet. And that's kind of the vision of Seatopia.
Yeah, I think they just go so much hand in hand. So it's like we have to take care of nature and we have to take care of our bodies. And they both are connected. So, and then also, do you just ship to the U.S. or do you ship worldwide?
Just the U.S. at the moment.
Just U.S.?
Okay. Yeah, there's so much work to be done here.
I know. Yeah. Worldwide coming soon.
Yeah, eventually, but you know, just optimizing the logistics, you know, like it's not easy to ship things in an authentic way. You know, we don't use styrofoam in our packaging. All of our shipping is carbon neutral. We're working on removing plastics. You know, all of our scallops, for example, come in a bio-based plastic recyclable bag, and we've done experiments with fully compostable bio-based plastics, but it's a process. We really want to figure this out before expanding. But
I've had the salmon, I've had the scallops, I've had all of it. It's delicious. So cool. And it's very fatty. You can taste that you're getting the omega-3s.
Yeah. And not the like canola oil, rapeseed oil, right? Like real omega-3s, which omega-6s. And it's very different.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I hope everyone's inspired to go try Seatopia and eat healthy fish and sustainable fish for everyone's health and environment. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jenny. It's really an honor to be a part of this conversation with you and your community. And I appreciate you asking these questions and helping people make better decisions for their health and this blue planet that we all share.
Yeah, I love that. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
I hope you loved today's episode with James from Seatopia. If you care about what goes inside your body and you want to eat fish that's truly clean, rich in omega-3s, and sustainably sourced, this is your solution. Head to seatopia.fish/biohackerblondie and use code biohackerblondie to save 10% off your purchase. You'll also support a mission I truly believe in because I only partner with brands I personally use, trust, and have vetted through my own biohacking journey. You'll find the link and code in the show notes and at biohackerblondie.com, along with exclusive discounts to all your favorite biohacks. And if you're ready to take your health into your own hands and work with me directly, you can book a one-on-one call through my website and start biohacking your life with personalized support. As always, if you find value in this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, or share it with a friend. Your support helps me bring more game-changing guests and keep delivering the best in wellness and longevity. Thanks for listening to the Biohacker Blondie podcast. As always, stay healthy and keep biohacking your best life.